My commentary on the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Verse 7 is in brackets. It was added as a statement that took place beyond the event. Remember, this is written years and years and years beyond the time when the event took place. So in brackets, the author says in verse 7, now in earlier times, it's earlier times than when this book was written, in Israel, for the redemption and the transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to another. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So it appears when this book of Ruth was written, they no longer had that custom. Remember, in a levirate marriage, if a brother-in-law refused to marry his brother's widow, then he had to take off his shoe and the widow would throw it away and slap him, or spit on him actually, and that man was forever known as a sandalless man. So this custom seems to have been derived from that. Verse 8, so the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he removed his sandal. So there you go. You see, he, the closer kinsman redeemer, removed the sandal, in allusion to the levirate marriage. Verse 9, then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Malon. So there you go. This is the other verse. It's a different sentence structure than the one we saw in verse 2. Again, the NIV says that Boaz is buying the land from Naomi. I do not believe that is the case. He's buying the land from somebody else to give to Naomi. If he was buying the land from Naomi to give to Ruth, that would fit into replacement theology, because that would mean Naomi, the Israeli, would never get her land back. It would be given to Ruth, the Gentile. So that might just well be the reason why the NIV translators translate it this way. But this translation does not fit the context of the book. Naomi is so poor, she has no land to grow her own crops on. Therefore, Ruth has to glean food from someone else's field. Verse 10, I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses. This was a legal transaction witnessed by the elders of Bethlehem at the city gate, at the town hall. So when Boaz bought the land from whoever and gave it to Naomi, at the same time he married the Gentile Ruth, in order that, not for Ruth's lineage to be secure, but the lineage, the descendants of Elimelech, the dead man, and Naomi's descendants to be secure in their own land. The security of the descendants and the land issue cannot be separated. Boaz did two things here. He bought land for Naomi the Jew. he married Ruth the Gentile, daughter-in-law, and the firstborn son, which they had, would be considered belonging to Elimelech and Naomi to keep their family line intact. This had to be the case because if he did not marry Ruth, the prophetic family line that Jesus would be born into would be broken, and thus the prophecies about Jesus' birth could not be fulfilled. Now, obviously, if that was the case, the whole Bible is in doubt. Yahweh, the God the Christians serve, is in doubt because what he prophesied didn't come true. But it came true because Boaz married Ruth, the Gentile, in order for Naomi the Jew to have her land and to carry on her family line. This is typologically significant, and we'll talk about it later. Verse 11, then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses." So they all agree to be witnesses. "May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah." May Ruth be like Rachel and Leah, two mothers of the Judeo faith, two mothers of Israel. This is how important Ruth the Gentile is. "May you have standing in Ephrah," that's the area around Bethlehem, "and be famous in Bethlehem." And of course, Ruth is famous. 12, "Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family," meaning Naomi's family, "be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." Now, the story of Perez and Tamar is in Genesis 38. And I won't get into that. I would just suggest that you read the story. Tamar tricked Judah into having sex with her. And again, because of that bit of adultery, the prophetic family line that Jesus was born into was not broken. Again, for more information on the Book of Ruth, visit my website, stevesweetman.com.